Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Peace, power, and love. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the big picture. And let me start off. We'll get all this out of the way. I see I already got some callers on the line, and I want to get this thing going. So let me thank all my listeners online, and I appreciate those of you who have already called in this show tonight. Also, let me thank my Activate Radio family, and also Activate Radio family, you can also call in and be a part of the show every Mondays. It'd be 8 p.m. Eastern Time out there in Boston, Massachusetts. But the show will be rebroadcast on Fridays on Activate Radio, activatemedia.org. And like I say, you all are more than welcome as well to call in and be part of the live broadcast as well. And I appreciate you all for taking me in and making me part of the family there. The call-in number, if you're listening online, tonight's show is geared towards the brothers. I want to have a talk with the brothers. I want to hear what the brothers have to say. And I'm eager to get off into this one. This show, I want to call this show a solution-based show, a reality-based show where we can converse amongst one another and try to come up with some solutions. And not only that, try to build some networking capabilities, because anybody that knows me knows that I'm really about linking us up. And like I say, it don't really matter where you at, where you trying to go. is what matters. And we all need to be trying to go in the same direction. And that's really what this show is based on. And then we can talk about some of these crazy topics that's always going on around us as well. Like I say, if you're listening online and you want to be a part of this one, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. And if you are listening online and you're ready to speak, I see I got 9711 ready to go, and I'm finna open up your mic. Just hit that one, and I'll see you pop up in the queue, and can join in. I just ask on this show in particular, since there are going to be numerous callers on this show, once I do open up your microphone, I'm going to leave the mics open. I just ask that we be respectful of the person that's speaking. And if you're done speaking, just to let us all know, I'll just ask that you yield the microphone. And that way everyone will know that you're done speaking, and they'll know that they can begin. And the only reason I'm asking that on this show is because there are going to be numerous callers on this line. So, like I say, I just want us to be respectful of one another, and let's try to build some unity on this call. Let's try to stay linked up. Don't let this be the first and only time that we come together and that we communicate. Let's try to stay in touch and keep coming back, you know, because, like I say, my thing is we the men, we the might, we the muscle, and it's time for us to get on this front line and protect what's behind us. And what's behind us is precious cargo. So, like I say, just respect, please, the ground rules. And like I say, when you are ready to speak, hit the one. Now, 9711, I'm going to reopen your mic. I can hear your car in the background, so I'm gonna unmute you now. And welcome to the big picture. Just state your name, brother, so the people will know, and you can say what's on your mind.
Peace and Black Power, family. How the family doing tonight, Brother Melvin? I just want to thank you for, you know, having this show, having this platform, inviting us brothers. I just want to welcome everyone, you know, here in the States and abroad to the show. My name is General Q. I'm just your brother, you know. The rank is is important here. We're all brothers tonight. From the, you know, the high stratus of the social society or even down to the lowest, you know, the light pole, you know, we all brothers, we all on the same playing field. So, you know, I just want to say thank you, Brother Melvin, and thank everyone for joining. And I'm excited to be here so we can work some things out and get some information out for our brothers. That's all I have.
No
peace and Black Power.
No doubt. No doubt, and thank you for calling in, Brother Q. And I'm gonna leave your microphone open, like I said. Just when you get ready to speak, just unmute your phone and jump right in. And like I say, that way, you know, we can hear and get everybody's take on what it is that they're trying to, you know, everybody's point. But thank you, Brother Q, for calling in once again. Good to hear you, and glad all is good. I'm going to open up now 9899. Oh, yeah, this is my brother, okay. And then after that, I'm going to open up 1941. He'll be next in line. And then after all the mics are open, I want to lay some things out on the table and we can start digging off into it. All right, my brother, your microphone, okay, it should be open. Should be open now.
Can you hear me, bro?
Yes. Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Peace. Peace to everybody that's listening, and hopefully they'll partake and get in there, and hopefully there's some nourishment on the table and no nutty shit. But I did want to, if I could, I needed a minute because there's something that's happening right now, and I kind of want to touch on it, and it's for us brothers. And that's what this call was about, right?
That's right, all night.
Okay, all right. One of the things that I think we have issue with in our brotherhood is our way of dealing with each other when we approach, our way of dealing with each other when we feel wronged, and our way of dealing with each other when we're not seeing the same thing, even though we're headed in the same direction. And being in the movement for the time that I've been and dealing with the different organizations, there's a lot of good Panther groups out there that are doing some good things in their neighborhoods. There's some activists. There's some, we even have some media people that are, you know, believe it or not, telling the truth, you know. So we have to, you know, we have to look at the resources we have, but our coping skills with each other is the start of any unity that we're going to have as black men. Our attack is coming from our women, the government, and each other. Now, we can't control what the government is going to do yet completely, but we can control us so that way we're better equipped to deal with that and repel that, because part of protecting our people is protecting ourselves as well. And if we're always constantly finding ways to fight with each other and allowing ourselves to be played that way and then playing along, then we're complicit in our own demise, which is something that I refuse to walk with, no matter what the cost. And, you know, but just something I wanted to kind of throw out there, because that's something that I'm hoping that this call will figure a way that we can learn how to give each other that benefit of the doubt that we keep giving everyone else but us. That I'm you.
I already appreciate you putting that on the table. We going to dig off into that right there. That's the meat right there. And we going to get the potatoes and the green beans and the cornbread and all the rest of the fixings to go along with it. Okay, 1941, I see you are next here in the queue. Open up your microphone.
Peace and Black Power family, can you hear me?
Peace, brother.
Peace. Still Marshall Jessen checking in. You know, whenever the general put out the call, I try to make myself seen. What the brother was just speaking on is absolutely the meat and potatoes of everything that's going on right now. And my thoughts on that is we've been brainwashed. As Malcolm said, we've been bamboozled. You know what I mean? I try to make it my mission on a daily basis to greet every brother as peace king, peace queen to the sisters. You know, it gets me in trouble sometimes working in a corporate setting, but that's the mission, right? As far as, and this is just my personal thoughts, I'm not going to get too deep into it because we're just starting a conversation. But as far as how we deal with our brothers, I think that all depends on what type of righteous brother we're looking at. You know what I mean? You got to come at different people in different ways. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper. But just me being a brother who in the streets, I don't mean I'm not in the streets, but that's where I do most of my ministry is in the streets. You got to approach younger brothers different than you do older brothers. You know what I mean? You got to approach street brothers different than you do corporate brothers. I know that's a whole nother conversation, and I hope we really do get into that. But as the brother said, I think another thing we need to talk about is how we're going to get our women back. Because one thing we have to remember is that the original party was 60 to 70% women. So we need to put back together the black family. I mean, not just the brothers, but we need to put back the, put together the black family as a whole, because that was the power base of any struggle we've ever had. And as long as the black family is destroyed, we don't really have much of a chance. So that would be my, I don't know, that would be my subject to bring to the table tonight, is how we're going to put back together the whole family, not just the brothers, but get our queens back too. And with that, I yield.
All right,
I'm going to jump in here.
Can I ask that brother a question about what he just said?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
My brother, appreciate you. So would you say that what you just said, which I agree with, the black family structure must be put back intact, would you say that it would be a revolutionary act for the male, the man in that mix, to be able to deal with his own faults and flaws, work on them to be a better person so that that structure has a better foundation along with the queen? Would you think that would be considered a revolutionary act?
May I reply?
Please.
Please. Absolutely, I think that would be a revolutionary act. But
my brother,
the thing for me is, our queens say they don't feel protected, right? Our queens say, because I listen to both sides of the conversation, right? We got a whole lot of brothers on this whole red pill thing now, where they feeling like they don't need women no more. What's the point? We got a whole lot of sisters going into lesbianism and all these other crazy things that don't support the family. You know what I mean? If it won't be enough, I just personally don't think it would be enough just to get our brothers in line. Because without our sisters, there's no next generation. You know what I'm saying? Without our sisters, there's no way to move forward. It would absolutely be a revolutionary act to get our brothers in line. Absolutely. I have no disagreement there. But like I said earlier, I truly believe that the black family is the real power base. When brothers see another brother like them taking care of his family and taking care of his business, that's a different type of respect. You know what I'm saying? And I think as far as getting yourself in line, and this is just my personal story, I'm not going to speak for nobody else, but this is just my personal story. I didn't have the inspiration or motivation or even a reason to get myself in line until I met my queen. Everything revolutionary I do today is because of her and for her. And at times she don't even understand that, but it's all in protection of my queen and my next generation. Sometimes they don't even understand it. And I try to explain it to them, but I just feel like that's my job as a black man and protecting my kingdom and my little tribe that I got. You know what I mean? Is to be the best man I could be. And to me, that's a revolutionary. So I feel like there's a lot of brothers like me that without a queen behind them, without a good woman behind them, there's no reason to get yourself in line. You know what I mean? So I absolutely agree that it would be revolutionary for our brothers to get in that position. But at the same time, with everything we go through on a daily basis, some brothers just need a reason. And the black woman is that reason.
Okay.
I guess.
Oh, I just wanted to add on.
Go ahead, and I'm going to jump in here.
I just wanted to say that to add perspective to our responsibilities, and, you know, in history and through the dispensation of time, the black man hasn't been in control of things in 600 years. That being said, it's up to us to reestablish order in not only in our own households, because it starts at home, but also in our community and with our loved ones and our friends. In terms of how we interact with one another, staying on code usually works pretty well. I've been in a struggle for some time, and I haven't had any problems, rubbing someone the wrong way, at least to my knowledge. But, peace and black power to you, and that's all I had. I just wanted to add that perspective. You have the mic.
All right. I want to jump in real quick because I kind of like where this is going. And about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I did a three-week, a three-part series, and I talked about the black family in different aspects. And the last show I did in particular, I talked about just the ratio of men to women and why. And out of the 100% of black men and black women, I'll just say black people, out of the 100%, it's 52% women, 48% that are men, black men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you subtract 7% because 7% marry and date outside the race. Okay, that takes it down to 41%. So then from that you subtract the gay population. And what I failed to do that show was find the percentage of black gay men. And I imagine that percentage would probably take it to the high 30s. I would say probably around 37% to 36% maybe. And then from there, you take the population that is in prison, which would probably take it under 30%. Long story short, the ratio of black men to black women is 8 to 1. So I'm saying that to say this. Yes, we definitely do need to categorize and realize that the black woman definitely needs us. And like the brother said, we need the black woman. Sometimes a good woman, and mind you, when I say this, I mean a good woman, will make a man a better man, and vice versa. A good man will make a woman a better woman. And we are each other's yin to the yang. Now, we also, before the 70s, we had the strongest family structures. We had a stronger marriage rate than whites. We had a marriage rate of two family households of 64%. Now, like I say, in the 70s, that started to change, and there's a reason for that, you know, systematically. Mm-hmm. See, and this is why I'm saying too, and I say this a lot, because we've got to fix internal. Then once we fix internal, we can deal with any external issue that comes about.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to fix internal first, because internal has to be strong, and we got to get the trash out of the internal so that it will stay strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that to say, we need each other. Let me go on and throw that in there. And what we have allowed to happen, we have allowed the system to take us out of our culture. And mind you, even though this country is not the way we would like it to be, we still have a rich culture within it. And the black family was strong. And I'm going to get back to that, because up until the 70s, before HUD, because see what the system did was to play daddy and remove the black man. Now, if there's a woman who has four children, three children, however many children, there's a lot of noise. Somebody, please. Okay. But we've been removed. And then what do in turn? Like Brother Kevin was saying, we can be our own worst enemies. We don't give each other the benefit of the doubt. We'll go after Jamal. Excuse me. Hey, I'm going to start muting mics. Somebody got a lot of background noise going on. I'm sorry. If you could just mute your mic until you get ready to speak, I'd appreciate it. I do want everybody to be heard, and I do appreciate your cooperation. But, we have got to get back to building what we know. And I say this all the time. we've allowed a lot of things to happen. At first when Kanye said that, I did not agree, but I do agree now that we allow a lot of the things that happen to us, because if we would have come together and stayed together when Trayvon Martin happened, we might could have prevented Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, Mike Brown, and the countless others, but we won't stay together. And that's why I want the brothers to realize that we are the strength. We the muscles. We are what our children look up to and rely on. Our women, and next week, I'm going to have a Queens show. And then the following week, I want to have you brothers back and those Queens, because I want us to stop bumping heads and start rubbing heads, if I can say it like that, because we need to caress each other more. We need to love on each other more, because, like I was saying, the numbers, there's not enough black men out here for our women. And thus you have a lot of the, as the brother brought up the point, the lesbianism that's going on right now. And it's up to us to be more proactive. And like my sister, Kia, and I appreciate her opinion too, because she brought this to my attention, and ever since she said it, it's just stuck with me. It's not that we fearful, we just feel defeated, and we not defeated yet, we still here. Until we gone, we not defeated, and we ain't never going to be gone. That's what we need to understand as well. We possess a power that we haven't even tapped into, and that's why I want us, the black men, to come together and realize how much we need each other. We need to stop knocking each other's heads and stop being so quick to hunt one another down. We got enough people hunting, and I'm going to ask this, because if we ain't for us, who for us? Name me one group of people or one system that's working with or for us right now. And I'll wait.
If I could, brother.
Go ahead.
I need to jump in for a minute, because while I appreciate everything all three of you have said, I don't think any of y'all really heard what I was asking. I don't think y'all heard me, because what I was talking about had nothing to do with lesbianism or any of this other things as much as it had to do with us, the black man, and our accountability for us and who we are. See, if we ain't working on us, then the family structure won't matter, because it's going to disintegrate, because we're not good. This is internal that I'm talking about. If this show is about the black male, then we need to be talking about us. What I was looking at more was our accountability. There's a lot of shit we can blame on the system. We know the system's never been set for us anyway. We get that. But what can we do to make us better so that all of those things y'all were talking about do become more reasonable to actually happen? A lot of our women are afraid of dealing with us because we don't want to accept our own damage. We can see everything outside clearly, but we don't look in and see anything that clearly. And that's what I was wanting to kind of do, was try to figure out ways for us to clean out our closet, so that our house won't smell, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense. I think, you know, I mean, hell,
if I'm digging too deep,
just,
please tell me.
I'm saying back to basics, you know, and the key answer is unity. And then, too, like you say, and like I was saying, you know, cleaning up internally. And I mean, that means also, I mean, I got people in my family who do dirt. We all got people in our family who do dirt. But, and I've even been that one. I've often said that the person I am now, I wouldn't like the person I was then. I'd be one of the ones, you know, that was not needed within the community, if I can say it like that. And I'm going to say it like that because we're going to be real, and this is some real talk. A lot of elements within our community are not needed, and a lot of elements within our community are detrimental. And I'm not trying to be hypocritical, but unity, I think, first of all, is the key. And then being accountable, yeah, for not just my actions, but for the actions of others as well. Because we can't just limit it to being accountable for just our own personal actions. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones, and if not change a brother's mind, at least attempt to. I think, like I say, unity is the key factor in anything that we do, and just starting to learn and relearn one another. And like you said earlier, giving each other the benefit of the doubt that we often give others. I'm going to open up, I got another caller, 6487. I'm going to open up your microphone, and you can join in the conversation. Welcome. State your name and make your comments.
Peace. This is Brother Lee calling in. How's everybody doing this evening?
Peace, brother. Good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Just to kind of hit on what Kevin was asking, I mean, I think the biggest thing, I mean, I don't know about the problem. Of course, we got to admit we have our own problems. And a lot of times that's a hard thing to do because, you know, we have egos and everything else that's going on with us. But if we can get past that, you know, and work basically on our youth, we got to work on our children. I mean, we have so many broken families where we're kind of separated from our sons. I mean, our daughters need us too, but sons especially, to be able to guide them, because that's what's going to produce the next generation of what's going to actually happen and come about in the future. I mean, because, like, if you can't sit there and teach them the mistakes you made and be willing to admit those mistakes, I mean, they're just going to fall right on into that pattern. And sometimes it can become generational. I look at people like if a son is seeing his mother being beat by his father, that sets in his mind, you know, that maybe this is the way that it's supposed to be. You know, I mean, I've seen things in my own family personally, you know, and I looked at it, you know, like, and I honestly saw the things that, you know, everything wasn't perfect, but when I ventured out and became a family man, I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. I learned that you can't change a person. So, you know, like when you're out selecting that partner. So what I did was, though, I had to basically, sometimes you got to let go.
Right.
And get with the person that you need.
Right.
So what I can basically bring to the table is, you know, being able to communicate more, being able to know what you want, you know, in your family, in your relationship. I mean, I'm not trying to brag or boast, but the queen that I've got now, we've been together for 15 plus years. And we've never had a fight or argument. And that, when we tell people that, I mean, it seems like they're astounded. But, it's nothing to me, but it's a lot because that's what I wanted. We went through that bullshit in first relationships, you know, the arguing, the fighting, and, you know, cussing each other, calling each other out of name. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But basically what I'm t- attention on is more of the personal relationship. So those are one of the things that we do have to work on as men. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, bite your tongue. You know, you got to, I mean, it's not to say that we don't have any type of, you know, you got to get on people's nerves. That's regardless. That's a gimme. But don't escalate it. Don't push buttons, you know. Don't bring up old drama if it's not necessary. You know, just kind of keep things moving and keep things flowing. And, you know, with that, I'll go ahead and yield.
If I could jump in, that's my friend. That's my friend right there. That it's funny that he said, I got a longer record with him than his wife. I've known this man 40-something years, and we've never had an argument. I've just sat here trying to think, what was the last thing me and you got mad at each other about? And I can't think of anything we've ever gotten mad at each other about.
Nothing. No, I really,
and
you're right.
You're fucking
I really
me up
can.
Right now, because there's people I didn't know a week, and I was ready to bury their ass where nobody would smell them. So it does work if we allow it to work. But let me ask you this, because you did say something key about the woman part. So in that first relationship you was in, that where all the crazy stuff happened, how did you fix you when you got out of it? Because it had to damage you as well.
Oh, it damaged me, definitely. I mean, it's like this. When I met the queen that I'm with now, it was like, we met online. And, you know, it was like, and it was a situation where you just needed somebody to talk to. I mean, if I couldn't talk to my wife, I had to talk to somebody and get stuff off my chest. So, she was kind of my go-to person. And I was her go-to person. So, but we never had anything in mind relationship-wise. It got to the point where I was so frustrated, I was ready to leave the country. I was ready to go to, I was looking to pack my shit up, and I was going to Asia, where I could go live off my pension and live like a king. And she'll tell you that I told her those things. And what? I don't know. It was just at that point where I don't know what she saw something in me and said, like, well, I'm not going to let this brother get away and go to a foreign country. And as she would put it, end up in a rice paddy.
You'd have been fine over there, bro. The money is well. When you ran out of money, you had a problem. Okay. Other than that, you'd have been fine. But I'm more concerned with not her. I'm really more back to you. What did you fix about you? Because you had to find out something about yourself in that bad relationship that you had to say, you know what? I contributed to this. So how did you fix that? It can't be all on one person. If it's a relationship, then you both, because one's acting, one's reacting. So when did you, you know, what happened to make you get to where you didn't react, but you knew how to respond to your woman?
Well, the biggest thing that hurt, the biggest hurt for me in that relationship was I guess it was my boys, and I never wanted to argue or fight or let them see that, because that's kind of, you know, something that I would see in my own household. And, you know, my dad, he was kind of a meek person, but my mother, she was the one that would fuss, you know, and argue and just, and, you know, and escalate. So, and I didn't want, I guess that was the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in me. Because I didn't want to see that. And when I found myself lashing back, because like I said, I'm my mother's child. So therefore, she's in me. And if you bring it to me, I'm going to give it back. And I felt myself, and I found myself doing that, and I wasn't happy. That was something that really displeased me, and for my sons to see that, that was a hurting thing when, you know, once everything settled down. So that's what let me know then, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know? It's like, to me, it made me feel like, okay, you're trying to bring out a monster in me, and that's not who I am.
Right.
So, you know, that, and so I guess that was kind of a turning point for me. And, you know, and I had to get back to being who I am, you know, as, you know, like I said, the person you knew, the person that you know, we haven't had, never had an argument in the 40 years we've known each other, and, you know, and I'm the type of person I accept people, you know, I accept people with a grain of salt, you know, I'm going to speak to everybody. My wife will tell you, you know, like, I've never met a stranger, but, you know, but if you come incorrect with me, then, you know, that then you have to deal with that other side of me. But for the most part, I keep that, you know, inside, and I know how to control and contain that. With that, I yield.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say something, Melvin, I'm going to shut up after this. I just want to say something real quick, something revolutionary that someone did, and they didn't even know they were doing it. A friend of mine, she happens to be white. She likes to ask a lot of questions about, you know, some of the situations going on with us as black people, people of color, period. Bad shit going on. A couple of people got upset with her because she asked so many questions. And I personally think it's cool that she asked because I know why she's asking. But I wanted to know for sure because I thought I knew why she was asking the question. And she stunned me with her answer. I asked her, I said, well, if you, these people shouldn't get mad when you're asking the question, but here's my question. Why do you keep asking if they're making it hard to give you, if they don't want to answer the question? And her response was the most revolutionary shit I've heard a white person say, probably ever. She said, and I quote, because I want to see a different world, and I'm raising a white male. And if I don't change now what's been happening, then it'll continue to happen. And with that, I'm going to yield. That was revolutionary. That's why I was asking about the accountability, because when she said it, it made me think, what had I truly done to be accountable for myself to make me better so that I could help change the world? That's the reason I'd asked the question in the first place, brother. With that, I'm going to yield. Thank y'all for giving me the
time. Yeah, I just wanted to say something with regards to your original question and address it. Again, when it comes to bearing, it should, you know, our concern should be with, you know, on the left of us or the right of us, our brother, our sister to the left or the right. But, you know, having a direction, you know, a bearing moving straight forward, you know, protecting, loving, defending that which is behind us. All too often, I see principles like competition be held over principles like cooperation, and that starts in the mirror. So, yes, we do have to hold one another, ourselves accountable, but that comes with study, that comes with training, that comes with inventory, that comes with a determination and a compass that, you know, no organization can set for you. It's up to the individual to work within the structure of any struggle in order that so that the objectives and the goals of the struggle will be accomplished by any means necessary. And with that, Black Power.
Black Power. If I may step in for a second, brother.
All right.
Because I feel like I kind of lit a tinderbox with that comment I had. Just let me clarify, though, for a second. My mission is not to get the older bro. I kind of feel like anybody who's in this conversation right now is already holding themselves accountable. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. With that being said, I'm a brother under 40, so I may not have as much experience as everybody else here, but in my personal experience, these young men out here who doing what they do just to get by to the next day, and I'm not going to get into the systematic racism and everything that put them into that position. We already know that story. But these young men who are doing what they're doing, they're only doing it for one reason, to get the woman, the cars, the clothes, the fast money, all that. It's all to get the women. That's all it boils down to. It's basic sociology. Men haven't changed since the beginning of time. We do everything we do for the women. The wars, any possible thing that you could think of that man has done to another man to get ahead, he's doing it for a woman. But once upon a time, our women held our men to a different standard, right? Like I said earlier, 60 to 70% of the original party was black women. And if I could be frank, because we're talking to grown men here, you ain't getting no pussy if you wasn't a revolutionary. It may be oversimplifying what we like to think of ourselves as, but everything we do for a woman. Like at the end of the day, when we get done with it, you know what I'm saying? When we get done talking, you work on yourself for a woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, unless you're a gay man, I don't know many men who hitting the gym and working these crazy jobs and all that stuff just for themselves. I mean, yes, you get some type of gratification out of that, but at the end of the day, basic sociology tells you that you're doing it to make yourself higher than other men, so you're a better catch for women. So if our sisters, if we could just get our women back in line, and I don't mean in line like under our heel or nothing like that, but have them thinking differently, you know what I'm saying? Because sociology also tells us everything you watch, everything you listen to, everything that's put into your brain computer on a daily basis pretty much programs the way you think. And if we look at what our women are being programmed with, it would tell us why our men are acting the way they are acting. Because if she was like, I'm not dealing with no drug dealer, I'm not dealing with no man who don't have a job, I'm not dealing with no man who don't have benefits. If that was the mindset of most of our women out here today, and I'm talking as a man under 40, if that was the mindset of most of our women out here today, these brothers would straighten up and quick. You get what I'm saying? But because we glorify a certain mindset, and I see, who was it who led the FBI and then later became, was it Hoover? He said, when Martin and Malcolm was doing their thing, he said it, that the power base is the black family. It wasn't no black millionaires or billionaires funding them. It was everyday men and women living on a straight and narrow, taking care of their business at home with their little contributions that funded the whole movement that got us all the things we accomplished in the 60s, the stuff we still standing on to this day. You know what I'm saying? And it's because women had a different mindset, and because our women had a different mindset, men had a different mindset, because that's what you had to do to get the women. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm not trying to debase our sisters, and I'm not blaming them at all. This is a planned and programmed thing from Margaret Thatcher to, what's the name, Gloria Steinem, you know what I'm saying? Everything they down to Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion today, it's all been programmed and planned to break up the black family, because the black family is the power base of our struggle. Like General was saying earlier, if we could get our family together, or maybe it wasn't the General, but one of the brothers said it, if we could get our families together, nothing else could stop us. That's why you don't have to tell Chinese people and Mexican people, you know what I'm saying, and all these other ethnicities that come into this country. You don't have to tell them that the family is the power structure. You don't have to tell them to keep their families together. They get together, they stay together, they build together. You know what I'm saying? And outside of the family, it's your people. And that's why you got little China and little Russia and little, you know, but black people, we have been programmed to not see each other in that type of way. I really don't feel like, because at the end of the day, a brother could talk to another brother till he blew in the face, right? You can give him all the motivation in the world. You can give him all the teachings in the world. But ain't nothing you can do that could compare to the finesse of a woman. And the woman with the right mind, that's why I raise my daughters in a certain way. A woman with the right mind can change any man into a revolutionary. That's just what it is. We've seen the power of our women since the beginning of time. But if we don't get the power, if we don't get our families back, because our women are our first teachers. At the end of the day, when we get done talking, like the brother said, it's been incentivized for our women not to have a man in the house. And if that's the situation, then we may need to make our women revolutionaries, because they're the ones who are teaching our children right now. I understand everything that's been happening in the past that got us to this position, but I'm thinking of what we're going to do right now to turn our people back to who we used to be. You know what I'm saying? And the women are the only ones who got the minds of these kids. At the end of the day, the system is set up so that woman can put the man out or whatever the case may be, and she always going to end up with the kids if it comes to the court system, unless she's doing something completely. It's set up right now that our women have the power. And as black men, especially black men, we're going to have to accept that. And in order to turn around the system that they have set up, we have to turn it on its head. So if we can get our women into a revolutionary mindset, now, like I said, all the brothers on this call is already in a revolutionary mindset. I'm thinking about the brothers out there in the streets who making that fast money, who doing these terrible things to their own people. The only reason they doing this is to get the women. Because, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, they going out, showing all this money, risking all this jail time, not even thinking about none of it, just to get a little, you feel me? If we could get our women back on the path, because it's going to be way easier to get the women than it is the brothers. Men going to follow the pussy. I don't mean to say it like that, but that's just the best way I can explain it. If we could get our women back, we win, period. That's why the system is set up to keep our women away from us, because they know she's the first mother, she's the first teacher, and she's the mother of all the future generations. And with that, I yield.
All right, I'm going to jump in. I want to make a point because I was talking, matter of fact, the other day, and this just goes back to what I was saying earlier, too. And I agree with the points that was being made, and especially to Brother Lee, some of the points that you and Kevin was bringing out as well. And I've just been sitting there kind of listening and soaking up. And really, what it boils down to, as far as us as black men, we have to be men of integrity. You know, because when you have integrity, it don't matter or what. Integrity embraces self-respect. Integrity embraces self-worth. Integrity embraces self-sufficiency. Integrity embraces everything that truly needs to be accomplished and in place. And like I was saying, the situation 8-1, I was having a conversation with my sister a couple of weeks ago, and I said, because she was like, we were talking about, you know, relationships, and she's talking about it just ain't no men for women and blah, blah. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, it is. But the thing is, and I said this earlier too, because the problem is, and I put the blame in our lap, because, see, we have a chance and a choice. We have a chance at everything, but the choice is ours. And see, what some of us as men do, we push integrity to the side, and we chase a skirt, chase a leg. We forget about what the mission is. And I told my sister, see, the problem is the men, because the men are gluttonous. It's more women out here than men. You got men that are messed with married women. You got men that are messed with little girls. You got men that are, excuse my expression, you got men out here that's cock ham, straight up, and keep our women and our young girls in a vulnerable position. Now, not only that, you add TikTok, Instagram, and all that crap to the mix, where any given day, any given minute, any given second, when you get on there, all you're going to see is ass and elbows. And that's, to me, that's degrading to our sisters. But women like attention. And see what it is, when you're a man of integrity, you know how to carry yourself in a proper manner where you will attract the right women. And in turn, a woman will carry herself in the proper manner. But what we have now is we got all these women showing ass and elbows and everything that the Most High gave them. And then you have women that don't have all that. That causes insecurities for them. And then they're doing things out of their character just to get the attention that the sisters that's showing their asses is getting. And see, then we the brothers, don't help that situation none, because what do we want? We want that sister that got her ass all out. We don't want that reserved sister that can do the same thing that the sister with her ass all out can do. But see, we perpetuate that problem as men, some of us, not all of us. And see, we have to be respectful to our women in order. See, you don't just get respect because you're here. Respect is earned. And see, I ain't never really been no skirt chaser. You can get some cock when you can't get a meal. You understand me? And I'm old enough, and I've experienced that. Good night or sex, but ain't no breakfast. You know what I'm saying? So thing is, like I say, integrity. And then when we doing it right, the kids will do it right. And Brother Lee brought up a point that hits with me all upside and through my head, and it's still ringing, because I say this all the time. Now that I'm 52, it's not even about me now. It's about my granddaughter and then her kids. So, see, we got to be foundation layers as men. We can't just be out here, and we got to start, like you were saying, just because you under 40, brother, don't mean that you're not valuable. We need more under 40 brothers, because, see, y'all can reach back and relate to them under 30 brothers. And then when y'all get them, they can relate to them under 20 brothers. And well, that's what it is. We got to start communicating and relating and giving each other the benefit of the doubt as opposed to the others, like Brother Kevin always saying. And like what Brother Lee said, because I said this, you can have $1 million and it's still not as valuable as your children, because our children are the most valuable possessions that we have. We got a weaker, wiser generation, and they weaker because we're allowing them to become weaker. And as men, we need to get back to showing not abuse, nothing but a hard love, a real hard love for our kids. Like, ass whooping didn't kill me. I'm still here. You know, but real good points being made. I'm going to take a quick break. The first hour is over. I hope everybody hang on. I'm going to take about a good 2.5 minute break, and then we're going to get back off into this. This is The Big Picture on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be right back after this break.
How many of you want to see the black family back together? Black man back with his black woman. There is no woman like the black woman, black man. No woman like the black woman. Don't you let no revolutionary fancy talk. Don't you let no religious fancy talk. No Christianity, no Judaism. Don't you let no Islam, no communism. Don't you let nothing put you with the white man's woman and you abandon your own woman. This black woman is the best. This black woman is the one. The one and only, Dr. Barashango is saying on the front row. That's that black woman. Mother of civilization. Queen of the planet Earth. Goddess of the universe. Oh, black man, we've been blessed. You leave Susie Roddenwickel alone. Give me a black goddess sister. I can't resist her. No blonde hair, blue eyes, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, recessive, depressive, Keep them bitches out of here. Give a damn how long her dress is. Her wickedness is longer than her dress. Give me the black woman. The black woman, black man, that's the precious divine gift to us. She keeps us warm in the wintertime. She keeps us cool in the summertime. And keeps us hot all year round. I love you, brothers and sisters. I only ask one thing of you. Just be strong.
All right. Welcome back to the Panda Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Tonight, we're just having a open discussion, and I got a new caller on the line. I'm going to bring him in and let them get their opinion in. Just open discussion, and we've really been talking about the black family and the need for the black man to stand back up and get back on track. And I'm just like, I always say this, I appreciate the lyric now, because like Pac said, it's time for us really to heal each other and be real with each other, because times is getting tough out here. And like I said earlier, ain't nobody on our team, and some of us not even on our team. And that's the sad part about it. But 7712, your mic is open, and you are welcome to join in. Welcome to state your name and make your comment, remark.
Peace, brothers. Peace, one and all.
Peace.
Mark Higgins.
Peace.
Chicago.
Peace. Peace, brother.
Peace, Black Power.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying the dialogue here tonight. Thank you, Brother Melvin, for opening my mic, and I'll yield when I'm done. If I could piggyback on the question that was posed by my brother Kevin, in regards to fixing ourselves, in so many words. And all these other metaphors I heard describing methods and ways to do this in a concerted effort to get to this one goal of unity, ultimate unity, right? So I heard all these other metaphors and shit. But what I didn't hear, which I think, my opinion, my humble opinion, should be number one, was discipline. Lack of discipline. Because without that discipline, you're not going to have a damn thing. Everything's going to fall through your fucking fingers. I could be wrong. You know, but
that's on point.
God's blue in my world, and without, in my opinion, without staunch discipline, not going to have nothing. And that's one thing nobody can fucking take from you. And that should, that if anything, that should instill some pride. That should be something that's a turn on to the woman.
Should be,
and then. The other thing is, you know, another part about fixing ourselves is that what you were just talking about, Melvin, about how we always got to have a young girl up under us, and how we put them in an environment where they're vulnerable, and how we feed on that from a creepy sexual standpoint. We're guilty of that. That's another thing we need to fix. and in our community, amongst the brothers, we know that we do this shit, but we're not policing that shit. And we got sons, and we got daughters, and we still assimilating to this bullshit. So that's another thing we need to fix in ourselves. And I agree with Brother Lee. We got him when he said that everybody that knows him looks at him, or he asked, he says his wife says he's never met a stranger. You know what kind of spirit that you have to have? You know what kind of spirit that you have to embody for people to feel that way about you? Just saying, we all need to humble ourselves and be a little bit like that.
Right.
And what I'm gonna continue to focus on, and that's all I have to say about that. What I want to continue to focus on in regard to fixing ourselves, in regards to women.
Hold on just a second. It's some air or something. Okay, there we go. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Continuing to stringently focus on the brutality on women's with the onset of COVID and the statistics and what we're seeing in the news ain't a lie. There's been a tremendous, our women are being attacked. You know, I'm speaking specifically of women of color in our community. Another thing we need to fucking fix about ourselves, because 75% of women in our community that are murdered by someone that they fucking know. Another thing on the fix it list with the brothers. No? I'm asking that we continue to focus on that. And this is all falling in line with what the original question was and what the original question was. What we have to fix about ourselves in order to make what the brother under 40 was speaking on about making our women, coddling our women and making our women desire us more. As opposed to that old adage about a bad boy is what makes a good girl's blood boil. That bullshit. So, you know, our women subscribing to that shit. That pimp, you know, that cool ass pimp bullshit.
Okay.
Also, another thing that we really need to fix amongst ourselves, brothers, and I really, really need to emphasize that we got to focus on this tribal spirit of competition with each other. You know, like you know, niggas can't have shit. As soon as a nigga see you with some, he got to have part of it. Don't work like that, because if you don't fucking work for something, you're not gonna value it. So if somebody's constantly giving you shit, that's all you're going to expect. But when you bust your ass for it, when you take pride in what you do, whatever you do, whether it's in the game, out on the street, you take pride in what you do. You're not trying to give up your shit because you have a sense of value. That's another thing that we need to work on. So this spirit of competition, this tribal, and maybe it's innate in us. I don't know. It seems to be. This tribal...
No.
Spirit of competition and I hate this term, but this crabs in a barrel scenario, man. And it's, I mean, it's so cliche, if you will, but it's you know, that's another thing that we got to work on in order to get to this common goal of fucking unity. No, and I you. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
I say.
Thank you, brother. I say, in Black Power. I'm so all glad you mentioned
all power to the people.
The discipline,
Black power.
Because that's specifically what in three weeks ago in a political education class that was a part of the particular lesson that we was holding, the warrior's ethics, the conduct of the warrior, and the three codes of three lines of discipline. We cannot continue to move in a consider ourselves moving in a forward fashion if we say we want unity, but we can't stay on code. We're looking for unity. The unity is in the code. The unity is in the code, and it's up to the individual whether or not they are going to operate in competition versus in comparison, brother. So big up to you for mentioning that. It's another one of the, let's say, parts of discipline that are not even mentioned in the three. Because my standards personally, and I think all of our standards, brother, we have to raise our standards, not just here in the United States, but to those of you who are listening abroad. Those are personal standards for yourself, you know, not looking over at the next person's backyard to see if their grass is greener, but watering your own damn grass, even if it's nothing but a sand lot right now. With that, I'll give.
If I may step in,
if I could interject for 1 second on that, please. Our children mimic what they see, and it's not like we had our grandmothers wasn't out there clubbing and whatnot. You know, our children now see their grandmothers out there making videos and whatnot, wilding out. And everything.
Okay,
and this is the example that they have. This is the example that they have. And this is why the boys hate the mothers. Boys hate their sisters. And you were talking about the lesbianism aspect. You got to expound on that, brother, because that's a surge as well.
There's more
gay black men, and I'm not shunning or judging anybody, but there's more gay black men now than there were 30 years ago.
If I may step in on that, I absolutely will. I'm not trying to shine a light on myself at all, but I think one of the only reasons I'm in the position I am right now, being as young as I am in this party, is because the general sees something in me. And I take that very seriously, study to show myself approved. Okay, so I'm going to just lay down some facts, right? Black women say they don't feel protected by black men. That's just a fact. At the end of the day, like I said, this is all basic sociology. They use science on us, people. They use science and psychology on us, right? Going all the way back to Willie Lynch. So, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was Hoover. If I'm wrong on the name, one of y'all please correct me, but I'm pretty sure it was Hoover when he was running the FBI who said the power structure in the black family, I mean in the black community, that's funding all these, like when we could do Montgomery bus boycotts and nobody ride the bus for a year and a half, and we really had that structure inside our family. The thing we need to understand is what we have lost in our power base is the black family, and there is no black family without the black woman. And the only reason This goes back to caveman times. The only reason men do anything is for women. We say we in competition with each other, but we don't really care what other men think. We care what women think. You know what I'm saying? We do everything we do to put ourselves in a higher position for women. Once upon a time, our women thought differently than they do now. If you look at everything that's going on, all the TV you watch, and this may change. I'm sorry if this changes your experience with entertainment, but everything you watch, everything you listen to, if just pay attention, open your third eye for a second. All of it is geared to make women think a certain way about men. See, men have always been programmed to get the woman, but now women are not programmed to get the man. They're programmed to get the bag. You know what I'm saying? That's why we're doing everything we're doing, working every day, doing all this crazy stuff for the white people just to get a bigger bag so we're more appealing to the women. That's what it all boils down to. We can say that's not the case, but at the end of the day, it really is. You know what I'm saying? for men, it's all about preserving your legacy, and you're not preserving your legacy without a woman. What I'm saying is, if we could get our women back to the point where you're not getting a woman without having a certain mindset about black people. See, our women have been programmed to not care about the black man no more. Like the brother said earlier, the government has become the daddy. You know what I'm saying? She can go out here, have as many babies as she wants, and she's going to be taken care of for the rest of her life. They did that on purpose. They stole the WIC program from the black community, from the Black Panther Party, because they knew if we taking care of our women and they don't need us, oh, no, no, no. They're going to get their power base back, and we can never have that. I'm pretty sure it was Hoover. It may be LBJ, but I'm pretty sure it was Hoover who said we can never let the black family be a unit again. That's why every other community is able to move forward, because their families are intact. There is no systematic structure to destroy their families. And once you have a family, any man, I don't care what that man is, once you love a woman and once you love a good woman, you're going to do everything in your power to protect her and take care of her. That's just how we are programmed. Okay, but the women in our community have been programmed that all I care about is money, which is the main thing that most black men don't have. That's also systematic. We have to get down to the root of why we act the way we act. I'm talking about the younger men. If we're going to keep this thing going, we got to get the younger men. And the only thing these younger men care about is getting a woman. So in order to get the younger men, maybe we need to reprogram the minds of our women. That's all I'm trying to say, brothers. I agree with the discipline. I agree with learning the 10-point platform, the warrior ethics, all that. The general could tell you I stand on that. When he calls me, I'm there. But at the same time, I know young men. And if they ain't getting no, you know what I'm saying, if they ain't about to get none on the side, I'm sorry. All that revolutionary stuff goes out the window. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not cool to be a revolutionary today. It's not. It's not cool to be. You putting your life on the line on a daily basis, and you're not going to get nothing on the back end for it. That's how these young men are thinking. That's how they look at me when I tell them what I do and who I am. That's how they look. Bro, you crazy. Luckily, I got a good woman who sometimes she don't understand, but most of the time she understands why I do what I do. You feel me? And if we don't have that in our communities, ain't none of these young men signing up. None of them. The white man do what he do to protect his woman. All of that. You know what I'm saying? Everything he doing to keep us down, please believe, is because they know that we are the more appealing structure to women, period. There's nothing more appealing to any woman on the planet than a black man. We already know that. That's why white men hate us, because they know if they women get with us, ain't going to be no more white people. You feel me? I'm not advocating for interracial marriage or none of that. But at the end of the day, men are programmed to do what they do for women. Like, since back in the day when cavemen were smacking women over the head with clubs and dragging them back to their caves, I know we existed longer than that. I'm not trying to get into that debate. But I'm just trying to make an example that everything we do for women. So if we want to destroy this structure and we want to reverse everything that has been done to us, it's not getting the minds of the men. It's getting the minds of our women. Because if we get the minds of our women, the men is going to follow. That's it's just sociology. The men are going to follow the women. You know what I'm saying? We don't like to act like that's the truth, but at the end of the day, it is. Once upon a time, you had to be a certain type of man to get a woman. And it motivated men to be disciplined. It motivated men to go to certain universities or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? We go out here and we deal with all this white supremacy so we can come home and make sure everything's taken care of, hoping there's a woman there to take care of. You feel me? If we're talking about heterosexual men. I don't know about gay men. That ain't got nothing to do with me. But I'm just talking about young men today who's still out here in the streets doing what they do. They do it for the flash and the fame so they can get the women, because that's what our women are programmed to like. If we can program our women to like something else, we could get our whole community back. And that's just how I see it. And with that, I yield.
All right. Kind of switch lanes for a minute here. Kind of on the same. Well, this is really, I'm going to switch lanes because I want to talk about, I talked about this actually last week on my show, and I haven't really been watching the, I don't do nothing but look at the clips at the end of every day. That's really all I need to see is the high points, because
I did a show and I talked about the double standard, you know, and how it is that, and especially I want to scope on the Rittenhouse case because he's a boy, true enough, but he's a boy that picked up a weapon with intentions to kill. And I've been watching this racist ass judge looking over the bench at Rittenhouse, thinking about his grandson, because that's what that judge sees when he looks over that bench. He sees his grandson sitting there. He has compassion and empathy and all of that. And then I contrast that with the Khalif Browder story, and we all know it well. Young man accused of stealing a damn backpack, taken to Rikers Island amongst grown men for 3 years, almost two of those years spent in solitary confinement. When the young man gets out, he can't deal with reality. And he hung himself. So then you also look at, and I remember this well because I was right out of high school when the Central Park Five case happened. With those were boys. Those were kids who were framed for something that they didn't do. And I just want to throw this out there. You know, why is it, and this was the question that I was asking last week, you know, some people are allowed to be violent. I also throw the scenario, because here in Texas, there was a real estate agent, y'all, that was involved in the January 6th riot. I can't remember her name right off the bat right now, but long story short, she got 6 months, and then she got a $5,000 fine. And I'm just saying all that because I'm looking at this Rittenhouse. I saw the clip of him sitting up there trying to make himself cry. That son of a bitch tried to cry and couldn't get a tear to roll down his cheek. You know, because to me, that's an open and shut case, you know. Then let's shuffle over to Georgia, where we got these other three racists who ran young brother Ahmaud Arbery down like he was a coon or a deer or something they was hunting, and that's what they was doing. And killed him in cold blood. And some things are just really to me a waste of time and taxpayer money. And I just want to get y'all's opinion on, because this is my take on it. And like I said earlier, I think honestly, and what I thought when the George Floyd case happened, and you made a good point too, brother, because it is hard to get the men involved. I have found over the years doing this that the sisters are ready to get on the front line, and that's why I'm always eager to get brothers together, because we need to get over that defeated feeling. Like I said, we ain't defeated. We still here, and everything that they have done to get rid of us, for us to still be here, says a whole lot. And we haven't even put any effort into being here. We still here. And I'm going to throw this question out here. What if our ancestors have been as nonchalant with their treatment as we are? Where would we be? And are we going to keep being so nonchalant and accepting of this treatment that we going to allow our children to suffer it, our grandchildren to suffer it, you know? And that's why I say it comes down to being a man of integrity, because this is me at 52. I ain't ready to die, but I'm going to die for something.
And I'll be okay with that because, like I always tell my mom, death is just new life, you know. And we, as the black man, have got to be willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for those behind us. See, I don't see enough Nat Turner spirits out here. I don't see enough Fred Hampton spirits out here. I don't see enough Denmark Vesey spirits out here, you know, and we need a warrior spirit. We are the ultimate superior warrior. Why are we so feared? Because they know what we can do. We do it to each other. We ain't never turned the tables. And see, it's time to turn the table. And I'm using those cases because, see, our young black men deserve the same opportunities. And like I was saying earlier, had we come together for Trayvon Martin, and I go way back there because it seems like that really was the catalyst, and it seemed like after Trayvon Martin and the Zimmerman run-in, it seemed like the police started getting involved more, and it just started happening more and more and more. Under who? Obama's watch. But that's another story. But our coming together, and like we did with George Floyd. And see, I thought that George Floyd was going to galvanize us. You know, I thought that was going to be the one because I'm not even going to lie to you, watching that video, and I haven't watched it now since the case is gone. I don't revisit it because the first time I saw that video, I was enraged. I wanted to be there so I could put on a steel toe boot and kick Chauvin teeth in, get off of him, because it was like watching him pull the rope tighter. And that is what was so bothersome about the whole George Floyd murder to me. It was like watching a literal lynching because you watched that man struggle to his last breath. And that still didn't galvanize us, you know. And how many others have happened after that? I mean, not long after that, you had the situation, what the trial is for now in Kenosha with Jacob Blake getting shot in the back, you know. So my question is, I guess, when is it time, you know, and I'll answer it first because now is the time, but when is it truly time, you know, for us to turn the table? And why is it, and this is another question I'm going to pose too, why is it do you think that we are so attentive those first few weeks, and then that, you know, that rage and that fire just goes away, you know? And then not only that, you couple that with the fact that they pay these families off, and that's hush money. But what do y'all think we can do to change that? And then
I'd be happy to have a go at that, answering that those questions, those two questions you just posed.
Me too.
Go ahead.
Okay. In terms of why it dies down after a while, it's because it's a cycle. And it's part of the conditioning and the propaganda that we've been fed. Unarmed black person gets shot. There's public outcry. Police chief says he supports the officer involved. The pastor, the church pastor, comes out and calls for peace, goes to trial, sometimes it's grand jury, doesn't find, you know, grounds for indicting, and then there's a civil suit or a settlement handed to the family, and then we go on to the next murder. So when it dies down, it's because of, it's a reactionary. That's why we have to stay proactive. because that's a reactionary response that the masses of our people have developed. And through discipline and through daily study and through daily training, we understand the importance of being proactive, because we are able to protract out this struggle for our children, not only in our life lifetime, but to give our children an example of what it is to be an upstanding, law-abiding, peace-loving citizen, a global citizen, if you will, because not everybody's proud to be American. Not everybody, everybody don't even feel that they are, you know, fully in, let's say, embraced, or, you know, even though Christmas Addicts was the first one to die for the cause of the country. And we have fought in every single war, from the Revolutionary War to, you know, that this country has had. Yet we have not, through redlining, if you remember, after the, 1712, and those 10 soldiers were veterans from that war that protected the young man, the young black boy, the 14-year-old that was accused of raping a white woman in Tulsa, which we was in Tulsa this past summer. So these are things that have been it's like the frog in the pot scenario. Say if you got a pot of hot water, and the frog jumps in the hot water, he gonna jump right out the pot. But if you let him sit in the water and you slowly turn it up, and then you slowly turn it up, and he'll sit there and he'll ball to death. Because it's the conditioning of the environment, and in these social conditions, I mean, I've been feeling the tension for some time. But when the compassion, you know, took over me, I just I went all in. So to answer your question, it's because, you know, the masses of our people are reactionary versus proactive. And that was the first question that you answered. I don't think I got into. Could you repeat that, please, Brother Melvin?
What'd you say, bro?
I addressed the second question with regards to the reason why, after a couple of weeks, you know, the public outcry seems to simmer down. I think I addressed that. As fully and as honestly to my ability as I could, but I'm trying to remember your first question, because that was the second one.
Oh, the first question was really to the point of what do you think it'll take to get us, the black man, to ignite and to stay, you know, on course, on
okay,
the job. Because honestly, a lot of these, and I go back, especially here lately, I've been going back because there have been so many of these cases, you know, and a lot of them still haven't been served justice, you know. And there's one case, and I follow this sister, and I actually speak to her from time to time through Messenger, Sister McKinney, Melissa McKinney, who lost her son, found him hanged in her backyard. You know, and these are the types of things that we as a community have to be vigilant about and have to be more defensive about. And especially when we know that, you know, like me, doing the type of work that I do, I know that I can be a target because I'm vocal, very vocal. And, yeah, that makes any person that speaks out, you know, freely and against what's wrong, it makes you a target, you know. But we can't let that deter us. So, huh?
It makes us free men. It makes us free men when we are able to exercise our First Amendment rights, but also know how to take care to handle the responsibility that come with it. I think arming ourselves, well, I know that to be, you know, the best way to be prepared to defend yourself at the point of attack, because I think that's when these issues have to be addressed each and every time they come up, not just in police brutality situations, but also in employer misconduct, the disparities we're seeing in home ownership, when a black person goes into a bank, they're you know, less likely than the counterparts throughout the human family to come away from that bank with a successful application for a business loan. But lo and behold, you know, they'll allow you to load yourself up at 18 years old with $100,000 worth of student loan debt. So, I mean, knowing the history and understanding that when the event is happening, put the damn phone down. Get involved. If you see an officer doing his duty, by all means, give him 20 feet so he can carry out his duty. The second, he is no longer doing his job, you have to intervene as concerned citizens. So that's okay. My college try to, I mean, that's just, those are my thoughts towards your first question, Brother Melvin. I love this platform, man. And, you know, each and every one of you brothers, y'all have my respect and my love and peace and black power.
Black power. If I could piggyback off the general for just a second. My power. If I could piggyback off the general for just a second. And I hate to beat a dead horse. I really, really do. But as black men, I think the number one thing we have to understand that in this system, in this white supremacy system, especially in America, our power has been stripped. Black Lives Matter is led by lesbian black women. Pretty much any power structure that you can think of today where we are actually making headway, they're not led by black men. They're not. So in order to beat this demon in his game, we have to use his pawns against him. And the number one pawn that he uses against black men is black women. In order to beat them, we have to get back our black women. Our power base has always been the black family. Always. Even if we go back to Africa, we were never a patriarchy system. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not the way that's not the way we live. That's not the way we move. We have the strongest women on the planet. Why would we not use them? Our women are the first teachers in our communities. Most black men don't learn discipline unless they get it from a black woman. And I'm just being completely honest with you. That's just the way it's set up today. You know what I mean? Like it was already been touched on earlier. They have set up our black women to live without us. You know what I'm saying? The government has become the black man. They're trying to erase us. So if we're going to beat them, if we're really serious about beating them, we have to be humble enough to understand how they play the game. They play the game by empowering black women and criminalizing black men as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of us, even in the eyes of our own women, we're not worth it. Black women are leaving for other races and lesbianism at record rates. And until we combat that, we don't even have a generation tomorrow to look at, because just like 60 to 70% of the party was black women, 60 to 70% of black kids are being raised by single mothers. So until we get back the minds of our women, we can forget the next generation, because they have been taught not to value us. Now, there's not enough revolutionary – I understand what the brothers are saying about discipline and carrying yourself as a certain type of man and all that, but at a certain – most of our women don't reach their level of maturity to appreciate that until a certain age. And that certain age is past childbearing age. You know what I mean? If we're going to claim the next generation and the generations after that, we have to get back the minds of our black women. We have to counteract all the programming that's been set on our community so they don't value us. You know what I mean? When I said it's not cool to be a revolutionary, I meant that. Like, I'm a chef. I serve people on a daily basis, and usually it's the same people. And most of these people are young black women, because these are the ones who work in factories and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Taking care of their families. I'm not trying to throw stones at nobody. That's just what it is. And I say about 30% of these women when I say peace, queen, what can I get for you today? As respectfully as I can be, they look at me like I'm crazy. They don't even appreciate, you know what I'm saying? Like, our women don't even realize who they are anymore. And that's not on us as black men. That's on this system. It's been put in all of us to think of ourselves as a certain way. That's why the men do what they do to get the women, and that's why our women only appreciate a certain type of man. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, it wasn't like that. We used to have the highest marriage rates, even during slavery. They were jumping over. That's where the term jumping over the broom comes from. Two slaves would put their hands together, knowing they might be separated, jump over a broom, and that's my wife for the rest of my life. You feel me? We have never had a problem with committing to each other until, I say, about the 70s, 80s, when they really put into the system the whole feminist bullshit and everything. Once they destroyed the black family, the black revolution collapsed. The black revolution collapsed. Anybody who really, really look at the facts, you know what I'm saying, don't get me wrong, there's still a few of us that's evident by this call, but we are not at the numbers that we used to be. And the reason that we're not at the numbers that we used to be is that the one who primarily taught our children to think black, act black, buy black, and all that has been trained to not even look at that anymore. You feel me? Black women are going to college and getting educations and not being able to pay off this student loan debt because that's what they've been taught to think is important. The family is not important anymore. Black men are not important anymore, especially with young black women. It's not important. The only thing they're taught is to get the bag, get the nails, get the hair, you know what I'm saying? So until we reclaim the minds of our families, and I only say black women because they're the first teachers of our families, but until we reclaim the minds of our families and get our families back in order as black men, all this revolutionary talk, I mean, it's all for naught. What's the point if we can't even build another generation behind us? You feel me? So it's just like, I feel like in order for us to really, really get back to a point where we can build a community and a family and, you know what I'm saying, do our own thing as black people without having to depend on this bullshit racist power structure that we're dealing with right now. The only way we could build another Black Wall Street, that was black families. The only way we could build another Greenwood is black families. You feel me? And without black families, I'm just speaking on the stresses that younger black men tell me. They're like, what's the point if I ain't got no woman? I ain't got no kids. I ain't got, you know what I'm saying? I can't get along with my baby mama, none of that. And it's because black men have been taught to think a certain way. Black women have been taught to think a certain way, and they're separate from each other. And until we can bring that back to some type of unity between our youngsters, between our next generation, because don't get me wrong, I love all y'all, but we about to go. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got much more time left on this plane. You feel me? And in order to keep this revolutionary mindset going, we have to get the next generation. And young men are telling me, because that's what I deal with on a daily basis, young men are basically telling me, I'm not into none of that until I can get my woman back. And the only way that they're going to be able to get their woman back and be revolutionaries is if our women have a revolutionary mindset. Because every day they're bombarded with, I got to look like this, and I got to be like them, and I got to focus on this, you know what I'm saying, and I got to chase the bag. Ain't none of that revolution. These are the ones who are teaching our children. These are the ones who are teaching our grandchildren. So I feel like that's our number one line in the sand. That's the first battle we have to deal with, is to reclaim the minds of our women so then they can reclaim the minds of our men. Because as much as we talking, and I love y'all brothers, but as much as we talking, we ain't never going to reach the mind of a young man the way a woman can. Never. That's just the way we are. So I just feel like our number one line is to get back our young women. Because once our young women are like, nope, I need to hold myself to a different standard. Nope, I need to have a different type of man. You feel me? Because that's why older men used to do what they did, because they was taking care of their families. But nowadays, you ain't even got to be able to take care of a family no more. You ain't got to have no job. You ain't got to have no car. You ain't got to be able to open a door for a woman and treat her like a lady. None of that stuff matters anymore. And none of that stuff matters because our women don't hold themselves to a certain standard. And until our women hold themselves to the queens that they're supposed to be, the men ain't going to treat them like the queens they're supposed to be. Because you don't have to. That's accountability. That's discipline. You know what I'm saying? And the only way we're going to get that accountability and discipline from these young men is if our young women require it. because they'll look at me and you and be like, man, fuck you. I don't care what you got to say. I'm still going to do what I do. I'm still going to get the money I get. I'm still going to get the women I get without none of that stuff you're talking about. The only way we really going to reach their minds and make them think differently is if you can't get none of that no more. And the only way you can't get none of that no more is if our women think differently. And that's why I, for the most part, I mean, unless I already see the spark in a brother, I don't really waste a whole lot of my time talking to young black men because they look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? But young black women, the ones who are teaching our next generation, they look at it a little differently because they got certain responsibilities because of the system. They got certain responsibilities they got to think about and another generation they got to think about and young black men and young black women that they raising that they got to think about by themselves. You feel me? And I be trying to tell them, why you keep going for these bums who ain't got that, like the brother was saying, who ain't got that discipline? Why you keep, you know what I'm saying? You should require more of yourself, queen. You feel me? And once women start thinking like that, I think, I honestly think that once our women start thinking like that as a whole.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, once our women start thinking like that as a whole, we ain't going to really have a problem getting the young men because it's going to be a whole different requirement through the whole black community. It's been designed that our women have the power now. It's like that in our community and nobody else's, and we need to start using that to our advantage. I yield.
Yeah, I want to, because I'm listening to you, and I'm just seeing things a little different because I'm really, like I say, focused on the man part. And
I'm just trying to say
something then. You said something then, because you said that you try to get at some of the brothers, but they don't have time, and you don't have the time to waste. And sometimes.
No.
You gotta put a little. Let me just finish my statement because you said that the brothers don't really be off into it like the sisters, and when you don't feel that vibe, you don't really put the time in. So and no knock, but I can just remember my granddaddy, and my granddad was like my dad, and I got a lot of life lessons from him over time. I got a lot of life lessons. Somebody got a lot of something going on in the background. Can you mute your phone, please? Thank you. Yeah, and it took time because young men... Women, girls mature faster than boys. That's a known fact. And you have to, boys' attention span is not as long as most. And I can remember my granddad getting frustrated with me quite often, but it took time. And that's what we have left, and we got to be more sacrificial with our time as well. Now, we can't fix the women. The women have to fix the women. And honestly, it's not about, and this is just my take on it, it's not to be done to draw men. Men should be on that just because it's the right thing to do. You know, and like I say, you know, the sisters have to teach the sisters how to be who they need to be. And the men, it's up to us to teach these knuckleheads who they need to be. And then they can attract a proper female and the females being taught proper because the mother is the teacher of both. But the father is beneficial. And I'm talking about, when I say families, I'm talking about married families, not just baby mamas and baby daddies, because those lifestyles are totally different. They're not like family.
it's family, but it's not a home family, a family that's there. You got a woman that's single, and you got a baby daddy, one that's in and out. You got another baby daddy that's in and out. And it takes a woman to teach that girl how to fix that and how to be a woman of integrity. And we as men, especially men with humility and integrity, we have to teach the men. We can't teach a woman how she needs to be. And I don't try to teach a woman how she needs to be. It's, to me, I made the point that more women join. I see more women eager to join because it disappoints me, because I would like to see more brothers eager to join. And then I'm the kind of brother, because everywhere I go, you have to know how to catch attention. And sometimes by just saying nothing, you can get somebody's attention and strike up the right conversation. Because I talk to a lot of younger guys, especially when I'm at the barbershop, a lot of people in and out. Then just traveling the way I do. And I try to pinpoint younger guys and strike up conversations, because we got to get back to being, you know, real men. And I say my granddad, I always use him as an example, but no, he wasn't a perfect man. I'm sure he had mistakes like we all have, but he was a man with integrity, humility, and he used to always tell me to have respect, because sometimes respect can get you more than even $1 million can. Okay, can somebody please mute your phone? A lot in the background talking. I'm trying to keep it where
I hear you, brother Melvin.
Be heard. I appreciate it. Okay, and so I'm just like, you know, as far as just us, I want to focus on, you know, and that's my focus, really, because it's about, to me, yes, the woman is an integral part, but without the man, the protection that's necessary, you know, the woman can't function. The woman will not function. And, yes, she's got things more than the black man has systematically. Yeah, that's set up like that to keep us out of the picture and give her that mindset. But I'm just saying that's only for a while. This system will do anything for a while, and that's going to run out too. I mean, systematically, and that's another thing, because I'm more about, I'm like they are now. I'm like with the gentrification movement and getting our minds right, and that's why I say the man, because we are the builders, the creators, the inventors. We the first man, and we need to start acting like the first man and stop acting like the last boy. And a lot of us have that still. I see some of my friends, 50, 51, 52, still with that boyish mentality, still wanting to chase skirts and married, but still trying to see how many skirts. And that go back to the point I was making earlier, you know, where it's the man's fault, because the man will chase a woman that is not virtuous and leave the virtuous woman sitting on the bus bench, you know. So, like I say, a lot of the reason that our sisters act the way they do is because of the way we treat them and disrespect them. But that's neither here nor there either, and I'm just throwing that in there, though. But as men, I'm just, like I say, more focused on us learning how to reconnect with our young men, because a lot of our young men get diagnosed with this ADHD and all that, and it's not really that. They just need attention, because balance is having a mother and a father. And I'm not saying that a baby mama, baby daddy situation can't work,
because I've seen many of them that have. But more than just that son or that daughter seeing the mama breaking her back every day, that baby needs to see the daddy more than just on the weekend.
Right.
You know, and that dad needs to be involved, because my thing is this. I've had kids that marriage didn't work, ended up raising the kids in separate homes, but my time is free. And there were times when things were wanted and I just needed to pay bills and you got to wait. But my time is free. And, you know, that's what we have got to start getting back to, giving our time. And a lot of us are not willing to sacrifice that whole time that's needed. And like I say, like with my granddaddy, and he made a man out of me. And I'm glad, I appreciate my granddaddy, rest his soul, because, you know, that's back when men were men and men took care of the house. Men came in from work, kicked their shoes off, and that's all they did when they got home, because they paid the cost to be the boss. But see, nowadays you got a lot of men that that's lost and want to be the boss. And it just doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? So we got to reprogram the young men to, you know, get up off of your ass and strap on them boots and get out there in that yard. Because I was 8 years old mowing yards, you know. I've never been afraid to work. And, not only that, I mean, I grew up in the country. So, you know, the market man come around, you're going to shuck some corn. You're going to share some peas. You're going to do something. You don't do more than just eat, sleep, and shit, like my grandmother used to say. So we got to get back to, and that falls back in the line of discipline. And see, the man is the fear factor. The woman can be fearful, but the woman is gentle by nature. The man is needed, like I say, for the balance, because the woman is that soft, caressing love. The man is that hard love. Love, nonetheless, but that hard love, and that's what that child needs. And see, nowadays we have children who are growing up unbalanced, because they only getting that soft love. That's why we got a lot of soft boys and manly girls, because they teach their girls to go get it, but they teach their boys to be docile. See, and that's why balance is needed. And that's why the man needs to figure it out. We got to figure that out, to figure it out, so we can teach our boys to be men and stop putting on these damn skirts and dresses and putting on pregnant bellies for attention, you know. So that's, you know, getting that true brotherhood back, where, you know, I can, like little town I grew up in, I got about 90 seconds, dang, but, you know, that bond, that community bond, and like you were saying, yeah, without family, there is no community, no doubt about it. Family is needed in order to have community, but we got to have strong families. You know, we got to have families that are progressing. That's the word I'm looking for, you know, because that's what life is about. It's about progressing. And as black men, we have got to be the progressors. We got to be the ones that provide the opportunities for progression. And that's our job. I'm sorry. I got about 45 seconds. I was gonna try to go around, but I enjoyed this. It really came together. I want to thank all y'all brothers for calling in and being part of this. And I'm gonna try to do it again. There was a few callers that I know they said they were gonna try to make it. They had some things going on, but I just want to let y'all know I do appreciate y'all calling in, always being a part of the show. It ain't about me. It's about us, you know, and that's why I like to do these kind of shows and get everybody involved, because I already know what I'm thinking. I like to know what other people are thinking, and then just bouncing different ideas, ideologies, and thoughts, and agreeing to disagree, but still moving forward, because
That's where we sometimes slip as men. We let a small little disagreement kill a $1 million deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank y'all once again for tuning in. I got 10 seconds. I want to thank everybody that listened online tonight. All my brothers in Nigeria, Germany, Canada, and here in the States. I appreciate y'all also, the Activate Radio family out of Boston, Massachusetts. Thank you all for listening as well. This has been a good one, and I'm on next Monday do a similar show with the Queens, and then the week after, which I believe is the 29th, I'm going to bring the Queens and the Kings together, and that way, like I say, we can really get into the thick of things and, like I say, start healing each other and fixing each other and learning what it is that we need to do, because we the only ones that can fix what's wrong with us. With that being said, I'm going to get off of here. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. Peace, power, and love. This has been the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I'm out.